Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome, fellow Lushes. Come on in, pull up a bar stool, and enjoy some cocktails with Dimples and the Beard.
But I'm stoned a lot for this, so. And speaking of stoned, welcome back to another episode of Cocktails with Dimples and the Beard.
He's right in.
Let me...
Well, now let's open the tavern before you can crack that bad boy open.
Oh, I love this shit.
Could lie a little bit, say we're just tasting it, but...
We've tasted it. We've had it. We love it.
Had it.
Thank you to our wonderful, beautiful friends at Raw Wellness. They provided us with some beautiful...
And delicious.
Delicious THC hemp-derived...
Oh, there it is.
Cocktails, drinks.
So refreshing.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. These are perfect. It's a nice summer morning. Evening. Whatever it is.
As in last night, when it was a beautiful day in the afternoon. What a great, great pre-game.
Pre-game for...
We had a couple cans pre-gaming before we went to...
Brittany and Tori, congratulations. Thank you for inviting us to your beautiful wedding. I said it to Brittany last night. I'm going to say it again. I never have had that much fun at a wedding, even my own. So I don't know if Brittany remembers all the fun we had, but
that's okay. I mean, it's one of those, I think, you know, she's like, not the first thing she thinks about, but as people bring it up, it'll remember. Yeah. Yeah. It was a blast. Thank you for the invite for me, and pleasure meeting you for the first time.
And Tori, anytime you want to touch the beard, you let me know. He got into the beard last night a little bit. Everybody wants to touch the beard. That's why you don't cut it off. So
usually, you never know who's going to fondle it, but that's okay.
I just tried to scare you there.
Did you?
Yeah. It is. I wonder where we should ask that.
We
need to know where they came up with the name.
I'm already calmed because I started drinking raw.
Well,
it doesn't scare me.
Doesn't take long, does it?
No. Can't scare me today.
This lemonade is like, some people like Mike's Hard Lemonade. There's so many different lemonade drinks now. This is the best lemonade drink I've ever had. This, it tastes just like lemonade. It's so good. And
that's what I had last night. That was very good.
This is a nice 5-milligram one. So it's just going to chill me out. I'm not going to feel like goofy because believe it or not, I got shit to do today.
This is elevated pomegranate rosé. This is why I picked this for this morning.
You are a rosé kind of guy.
I am rosé for the morning.
Rosé is your breakfast wine, breakfast THC drink.
Absolutely. It was my breakfast wine, so now I'm just bringing it over to this.
All right. So.
Thank you again, guys. This is delicious.
That was weird. That sounded more like a...
Oh.
I don't know what that sounded like. It's a little more... Although, their nature... That's why I want to know where the name came from, because they are very... They're very chill, and the name is, so I want to ask them.
Yeah, without the exclamation point, it could be just like, rah.
Yeah.
Because later, after a can of this, it is, rah.
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 Yeah.
Rah, guys.
Like some of the guests at the wedding last night. Rah. Rah. You know who I'm talking about. I think we're going to have oodles and oodles of new listeners after last night, because everybody was so excited to see Dimples and the Beard at this wedding.
Absolutely.
I don't know if you noticed, but yeah. People were pointing, like, who are those people? Why are they here?
Why is that guy there?
And I love that.
I've never seen him before.
I love the one woman who walked up to you and said, and exactly who are you again? I'm Kevin, bitch.
Why don't I kick the balloon? But my favorite part is when the ceremony was over, and Brittany was walking down the aisleway, just kind of smiling at everybody and was like, Kevin!
And still had never technically met you in person at this point.
Right. That was the greatest part for me. And then we got to spend some time after that.
Do you know what the greatest part for me was?
Uh-oh.
Hearing a wedding officiant. What are you guys called? Officiants? A wedding officiant.
Yeah.
Henry, Brittany's father, who fucking nailed the job. Didn't get her name wrong. Didn't get his name wrong. Said some sweet things. Had the bride come up last. It was amazing.
You mean like he did it the right way?
Like, you should, maybe if you're going to do another one, you should contact Henry and ask him for some tips.
I told Henry and Brittany both. I'm stealing shit from from his sermon.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, he did it. Henry, you nailed it, buddy. As I told you when we were talking. He felt he was jittery and he wanted to be exceptional for his daughter. But
he was.
I said, yes, and I still claim it was. It was perfect.
But the jitters make it exceptional, too. Yeah. Like, you're going to be, it's your daughter. Right? Yeah. Like, you can't, if you go up there, I mean, I know you're cool and all, but you got
sometimes. It was genuine.
I don't really cry much at weddings, but I was a little teary. So.
And he was genuine about not feeling he did the best, but you know what? I'm genuine by saying it was, you knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
Rah! Here you go, Henry. Rah!
Here's a rah to you, Henry. Here's a rah to Brittany and Tori. Congratulations.
Congratulations, guys.
Thank you for making part of your beautiful day.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you to Ra for making that beautiful day.
Even beautiful.
Even beautifuler. Beautifuler. More beautiful. We might still be feeling the effects of last night's.
It's possible.
Rah!
Rock.
I wonder if they were expecting that when they were like, we'll let these guys promote us. You know, they're just going to go rah over and over
the
again.
The whole
right?
time. What else are you going to do? But rah.
Yeah. Anyway.
We want the, yeah, next time we want the history of rah. Ooh, there's a guzzle.
Hmm. That's what I like about this stuff.
It's so good.
You can really pound it home.
Yeah. Can't wait till summer to.
Well, summer's over.
Winter's coming up.
Yeah, summer's over. But it's good in the winter, too. I think this is actually the last day of summer.
I'll scrap everything I was about to say.
Yeah, I think today is it. Today, you can't wait for summer. Well,
they'll be gone by summer. Yeah, what I was gonna say. We'll have to get more.
To be fair, they did. Ala and Richard did tell me when I picked these up that they're like, because I've told them, you know, we probably won't get to an episode until like later in September. We got a bunch of stuff. They're like, well, if you run out before then, come back and get more. So,
did you just say Richard?
What's that? Richard and Ala? Yeah. Yeah.
Richard and
Ala. Ra. Damn it. See, that's why this shit opens your mind. I'm telling you.
That Richard, I went ding, ding, ding.
Yeah,
ding.
I'm telling you. That's probably why it's called Ra. I still want to ask.
We're gonna ask.
If you guys watch this, I hope you did. Put it in the comments if we got that right.
That was perfect. Oh, I'm tearing up. Oh.
Just like last night, you big pussy.
I did.
Anyway, can we let our guest in now?
Yes. Everybody.
Yes.
I'm tearing up right now. Just remember.
It was a beautiful wedding.
It was so beautiful. It was a cool place. But you know what's even cooler? Is checking us out on Instagram, Facebook, X,
channel,
and YouTube. When you go to YouTube, leave a comment. Anywhere, leave a comment. Ring that notification bell, subscribe, and you'll be the first to know when a new episode comes out. And in addition to that, you can listen to us. If you don't want to see our pretty faces, you can listen to us on all the platforms, Apple, Spotify, all that good stuff. And listen to us when you're driving on a family vacation. Kids will love it. Kids will love it.
I swear.
And we better not keep a handsome man waiting.
So, without further ado, the long-awaited... No, wait. Never mind. Without further ado, Michael Morgan. Thank you for joining us, Michael Morgan, comedian down there in Texas, where all the good comedians seem to live these days.
Right.
So yeah, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, man. Glad to be here.
So in Texas, that's kind of works out for you, right? You're from Texas and that's where the hot spot is now. That's pretty nice. A lot of the comedians we have on got to
work. Our transplants.
Yeah, they moved over there. So where's your favorite?
Yeah, kind of had it pretty easy.
Where's your favorite area?
Man, it kind of is middle ground between the Dallas-Fort Worth area and then Austin.
Okay.
I bounce between both of those a lot. A large portion of what I do is in Dallas-Fort Worth just because I live about an hour from that area.
Okay.
And then I travel to Austin every couple of months and do shows because I'm like 3.5 hours from there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you forget how big Texas is. It's like, I live in Texas, but it could still take me 5 hours to get where I'm going.
Oh, man. Sometimes it can take a day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember not often, but I do remember going through Texas and 3-hour drive seems like five.
It does.
So are you a Cowboys fan?
Honestly, my dad was still is a huge Cowboys fan. So I grew up around it, around him. But I'm more on the nerd side of I'm more of like a Star Wars fan, you know.
All right.
Oh.
So I'm a little bit of a nerd.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's all right. You and him will get along just fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've had multiple guests on who are big Star Wars fans, and there'll be 20-minute conversations where I'll say like three words.
Oh yeah.
So I'm just like, I have no idea what you're all talking about.
Yeah, that's me most of the time, is especially with like my wife. I'll tell her about some kind of like nerd news that came out, and it just right over her head.
Perfect. So what got you started in the comedy?
Man, honestly, I grew up around, well, I say around comedy, but I grew up influenced by comedy since I was like 6 years old. And I originally started in like 2018 is when I first got up doing stand up, and I did it for about 3 months, MC in a club over in Tyler. And I got fired for, saying the C word pretty much. And it wasn't like a comedy club.
Just to be clear, that would be cunt.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. Cunt. So yeah, that word.
We don't allow anybody to censor us. We just say what we say.
Okay, good. So I said cunt, and it wasn't at a comedy club. It was like, oh, there's people eating a meal over there. So it was like people trying to finish a steak, and I dropped like three of them, and they were like, yeah, you're not going to get back.
So not just one. You were.
Oh, yeah. It was a large portion of my set.
Well, I'll say three times. What was that joke that pulled out the C word?
Honestly, I don't really remember it. All right. I was pretty high back then. So a lot of my comedy was influenced by whatever terrible ideas I had then.
Sure.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I said it like three times. And I remember as soon as I got off stage, one of the other comedians just looks at me and was like, I wasn't a good choice.
He said, well, like, yeah, we won't see you tomorrow night.
Yeah. So I took about a break until about 2022, and I decided to start back. And then ever since then, just, you know, taking it serious and, okay, riding and traveling and all that.
So what was it when you were 6 years old that got you going? Your dad?
No,
I'm sorry.
Well, yeah. So my biological dad is always kind of, he introduced me to comedy at a real young age. But I grew up with my stepdad and my mom, who were pastors of a Pentecostal church.
Oh, that's funny.
So we were not allowed to, like, if we said butt or crap, we got in trouble, you know? So I remember when they would go to bed on Saturday, I would sneak into the living room and watch Saturday Night Live with the volume on like three.
You fucking so that rebel.
Was,
I know, man.
Wow.
That was my version of saying cunt back then.
Back then.
So, yeah. And then ever since then, I was hooked on sketch comedy, improv, stand-up, just all of it. And I stayed pretty heavily involved as far as just, you know, doing comedy in some sort of aspect.
Yeah. Who was the cast of SNL when you were first got into it?
Oh, God. Sandler, Chris Farley, David Spade.
Okay.
Mike Myers, all the like 92 to like 95, 96 cast.
Yeah, like the second best group
second
ever.
Wave, yes. Right.
Yeah.
Such a good group, yeah. So many stars came out of that.
I know. I mean, not most of them, really, yeah. You know?
Yeah. And Farley would have been the biggest one.
I know. Oh, I know. His brother just did a show at my home club this past week, Kevin.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I think he was just at our club, too, recently.
Somewhere around here he was. Yeah.
Yeah,
he's making rounds.
Yeah, for sure. We're in Wisconsin, so the Farleys are...
They're from Wisconsin.
They're royalty here, so...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like us and Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah. Yours is hotter, ours is funnier.
Yeah. Kevin's hot. I'd say Kevin's hot, you know?
Well, not to jump into it, but yeah, that's a good point. Why didn't you write your gay song about Matthew McConaughey? He's pretty fucking hot.
Funny story. It was going to be Ryan Reynolds or somebody like that, but I needed the syllables, and Ryan Gosling just... those syllables just hit perfect. And I was like, well, and it worked out that he's a pretty attractive man too.
He is. Yeah.
Yeah. They're all, you couldn't have gone wrong with any three of them, but
yeah.
Just to let everybody know that you do have a song out there, If I Was Gay.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't say cunt in that word, but you do talk about being gay.
Say a lot of cock. Say a lot of cock in that one.
So. I suppose that could have been this. How come that C word doesn't seem as offensive as cunt?
I know. That's true. You know, it did shift somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
It definitely was a shift.
Somehow that became the most offensive word ever that you can say other than
because Carrie said so.
Cap.
Why did you write that song? What was the inspiration for that other than laying in bed naked one night?
Man, so I was deep into masturbation right up in that point, you know, I was like, you know what would make a killer song? I'm not the like manliest guy, and some of my act talks about that. I'm like a pretty metrosexual type of guy, right. You know? And so I was in plays and doing sketches and all kinds of stuff when I was older. I didn't play very many sports. And most people hit me with that. And so I was like, well, maybe I need to write a song just to lean into it.
Yeah.
And so I was strumming around and just kind of landed on the melody and just kind of wrote around it. And I was like, that's pretty funny. So I'm actually going into the studio to like professionally record that song. Next Saturday. So I'll actually be like releasing it on iTunes and stuff.
Oh, that's cool. Nice. How long have you been into music? Have you been playing music longer than doing comedy?
Honestly, pretty. As far as like doing stand up, music's been way longer.
Yeah.
But I fell in love with music pretty much at the same time. I first learned to play drums when I was 6.
Oh, nice.
And so I learned like I said, my parents pastor a Pentecostal church. So it's like a full country band on stage. Like there's 11 electric guitars and 2 bass players for some reason, you know? And so I just kind of learned an instrument through each and just kind of bounced around. I started out on drums, guitar, piano. I learned accordion.
Jesus.
And,
when are you going to bring that up on stage, the accordion?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to have to work on it. But I don't want to rip off Weird Al either. So I might have to just write a cunt song about accordion. So I'm like an edgier Weird Al, you know, gay Al.
The movement of the accordion, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah. That's right. So, there you go.
And
mine up here.
Bring that act to Wisconsin because we love our polka here around here.
Heck oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So then music, and then you got into hearing that you did musicals in school.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Theater, music, all of that.
Were you the lead in the plays?
Yeah. So I was, I did like Grease. I was Danny Zuko in Grease.
Oh, nice.
We did Wizard of Oz, and I was a Tin Man in Wizard of Oz, which funny story about that. They did a big picture for our newspaper. Our like local newspaper, and they wanted it all in full costume. Well, we got the costumes in the day of the newspaper. My costume was ordered pretty small. So there's a newspaper clipping that my parents have where I'm just full moose knuckle on the front page of the newspaper. And not in a like, and it wasn't a flatter. It wasn't anybody going, oh, look at Michael. It was like, oh,
oh,
you know,
I can't believe they published that.
This is why he does plays.
Yeah. Yeah. They went full on. I mean, my parents got it and saved it for that reason. They're just anytime you feel too big, we're going to humble you.
You should definitely find a way to use that for a promo picture.
Heck yeah. Yeah. It's going to be the cover. Yeah. I'll get that. That'll be the cover for sure. So I'd love to say I've grown since that picture emotionally and mentally. I have.
Yeah. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
They say size doesn't matter.
Hey, I've got a great personality. I don't know if that helps at all.
It's a little on the gay side, but it's great.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I did all kinds of plays. I did, you know, I did some drama, but like I said, most everything I did kind of lean towards like comedy, you know? Yeah.
So when do you decide you're going to the Marines?
Oh, God. Like a week before I left. Never thought about the Marines a single time in my entire life.
Yeah, I was going to say, the guy who's the lead in the musical isn't usually the guy who's gone there for
the Marines.
Or getting recruited.
Yeah.
I was about to say, my recruiter didn't come to me. I sought him out. They weren't looking for me. I definitely was just like, hey, you don't even have to pay me. I'll just go.
I just need something to do.
Yeah. And
I can't get a job.
Yeah. I need to go somewhere.
What? Yeah. But what was the week before? But why was there?
Just honestly, and it sounds stupid, but I'd broken up or got broken up with like my senior year of high school right before we graduated. I knew I wasn't ready to go to college or do anything. And a friend of mine was like, I think I'm going to the Marines. And just on a whim, I was like, oh, cool. Like it was a weekend thing, you know? And I was like, maybe I'll do that too. And so I just rode up there with them. The sales pitch was great, you know?
Of course it was, yeah.
I was like, I'll take two. You know?
Where's your current timeshare?
Yeah. Jacksonville, Florida, unfortunately.
Perfect, yeah. Right on the water.
So yeah, I signed up. I didn't even tell my parents until after I enlisted.
Oh, Jesus.
I snuck away for like a day, went and enlisted, came back, and then told my parents. I was like, oh yeah, I'm leaving 2 days after I graduate to go into the Marines. And
by the way.
Yeah. And my mom is a very sweet person. She's also a very terrifying person to the outside world. And she terrified a group of Marine recruiters to the point where they were like scared to answer her phone call. And I'm not even kidding, like terrified. So as soon as she found out I enlisted, she found the number to the recruiting station and called up there, and just my recruiter's name was Staff Sergeant Taylor, and she just let him have it, you know, and I remember him calling me and just like, you got to do something about your mom, man. She's scaring everybody up there. We're not going to. And I literally had to tell my mom. I was like, Mom, they're going to like reject me. She's like, that's what I'm trying to do. And the whole time while I was in boot camp, I sent one letter after like a week and a half of boot camp. And I was like, hey, just seeing if you're writing me, I haven't got any letters. And she crawled so far up the chain of command that it made it in California to my drill instructor. She had no information but my platoon number. So she started at the recruiting station and just argued her way to my drill instructor's cell phone.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah. And got a hold, and I paid the price.
Yeah, I would imagine.
For it. Oh, it was so one of the most embarrassing things in my life. And I've been moose knuckle on the front page, and that's ahead of that, you know?
Right, right.
It was terrifying.
What is perspective?
Oh, okay. Man.
I would think mommy calling to get you out of boot camp or to yell at you is worse. That's worse than anything.
And I'm in comedy now. So.
Yeah. it's starting to make sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Traumatized. Yeah. Embracing it. So how many years were you in?
I did 8 years total. I did 4 years active and 4 years in the reserves.
So you did take two, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. So I took two. Yeah.
Yeah. Two stints. Well, thank you for your service.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't do a whole lot, but uniforms are pretty cool.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Yeah. Where were you stationed?
I was in Camp Pendleton for a little while, now stationed in 29 Palms. And then in the reserves, I was in Grand Prairie, Texas.
Okay.
So the reserves weren't bad. I enjoyed active more just because I thought when I got out of active, I was like, well, I'll just go finish my 20 years in the reserves. And, you know, and once you kind of get back home, you kind of want to move on with your life, you know?
Sure.
And it was like, I was trying to move on. And then once a month they were like, push pause on your life and come be a Marine for a weekend or 2 weeks. And so I was like, yeah, I think I'm done.
Yeah. I suppose easier when you're all in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So what else do you do anything else right now, or just riding the comedy wave?
So I work I work in sales for an equipment rental company. Okay. And so, so I do that, but my job pretty much kind of allows me to do comedy full time because I travel a lot for work. Kind of plan it strategically. Like I just got back from doing shows in Austin this weekend and I kind of strategically planned it to where I needed to work in Austin that weekend. And I already had shows lined up. So
that's
I kind
perfect,
of,
yeah.
And then I work a lot in the DFW area. So most of what I do is fairly remote. So I'm able to, as long as I have my laptop and my work phone, I can pretty much, you know, work from anywhere.
Sure.
So has your boss ever come to see your show or anything? Does he even know you do comedy? Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I had like 20 people from, I headlined a show in Plano about a month ago and I had like 20 people from work. I made sure not to invite our HR rep. But
all right.
So
I'm going to say cunt. Okay.
Yeah. I left about two of them out of that set. So.
Yeah. I suppose that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, your comedy's definitely not clean. I mean, you do go into the gay stuff a lot and masturbation a lot. So, I mean, it is funny. Yeah. So that's why I was wondering about, I mean, you can say what you want, right? On stage, it's your act.
Yeah. But. Yeah. And at the, you know, at the same time, I tend to be that person anywhere I go. So I get a lot of hand slaps at work. People kind of just, you know, you can't say that. So hadn't really got me into necessarily like any trouble, but I definitely get people just like, hey, shut the hell up. You're on a recorded line.
You're on a recorded line.
So I do get that a lot.
All right. That makes sense. But you got to be yourself, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you've toured as a musician as well, haven't you?
Yeah. So before I fully got into comedy and when I got out of the Marines, I actually, I was a Christian music artist. I signed with a record label out of Nashville called Mission House Music and toured, you know, all over the country doing that. Never really made it to like huge status, but we were the band they went to see, we were the band that was playing right before that.
Sure.
Okay. So,
well, everyone was using the bathroom, we were on stage, you know.
was that all original music?
Yeah. Oh yeah, all original music I wrote. And I leaned pretty hard into, you know, Christianity when I got out of the Marines. And and, you know, I'd always done music and I actually entered a contest is what kind of kickstarted it for an original song. And if you won, they gave you like, it was like $3,000 to go and record the song. And then they would have it circulate on the radio for like a week. Oh, and so I got some other musician friends I knew and we went and recorded that song and it just kind of felt right at the time. And we started doing a bunch of stuff local and it just kind of started to, you know, snowball into bigger things. And we actually got to open the largest largest outdoor Christian music festival. And it was at like 9 a.m. and there was already close to like 10,000 people there then.
So okay.
Well, yeah, that's when they're up, right? They're going to church. That must be the best time. I would think that's the headlining slot.
And then I said cunt and they kicked me off the stage.
I never performed again.
Then, you know, yeah.
And then the encore was if I was gay, I'd fuck Ryan Gosling. Yeah. And sorry, you're done.
I don't know what happened. They weren't into it.
That's a pretty big swing from singing good old Christian music to talking about banging Ryan Gosling.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I don't know if it's an upward or sounds like a downward spiral when you say it like that, but
it's just a big swing. That's for sure.
Yeah. Big swing. Yeah.
Lateral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That feels so better.
Is your music out on like Spotify and things like that?
Yeah. Oh yeah. YouTube, iTunes, Spotify. So my band, I was vain enough to name it after myself. So I called it Michael James Band. And, okay. Yeah, we got to play with, you know, we did a show with For King and Country and Jason Castro and a lot of just kind of all the big Christian names through like 2014 to 2018.
Wow.
So
I apologize for not knowing all those names.
It's perfectly fine.
I know we have.
I'm upset that I do.
We have a big festival around here every year.
We do have Life Fest.
Life Fest.
Yeah, I know Life Fest. Yeah, that's pretty close to us.
So
it's pretty big. And my son actually has gone for many years. Him and his wife go, and her family likes going every year.
Yeah.
So, and then it's more rock.
Right.
Yeah.
This one is Christian rock. So,
and that's kind of what we were. We kind of were kind of more Christian alternative rock, kind of like if, you know, Goo Goo Dolls found Jesus. That's all how I explained it. You know,
Striper, wasn't it Striper?
Striper.
Yeah. Mm. Oh yeah.
They were all the all yellow and black.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, we moved to Nashville for a while and did that.
Oh, wow.
And I kind of did that full time. And then on the side, I would go and play with other bands to kind of make money and all that.
So did you just kind of grow out of that, or what made the change?
I did. Everybody started getting married and having kids. And I went through a divorce at the time, or right after that, started going through a divorce, and we moved back home and just kind of, I don't know. Once you're kind of that exposed to the church, because most of what, a good portion of what we did was, you know, we would go to these big churches and go put on these shows for like their youth group would put on a big concert.
Yeah.
And we would go play. And I saw a lot more of the church than I think anybody's supposed to. And it just kind of really turned me away from it.
Gotcha.
You know? Oh, okay.
So.
Well, there's some songs right there.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
I keep going back to it, that it's funny in my head that the big swing that someone could go to Spotify and listen to your sing country and then tell a dirty joke and then go back to this country or Christian song, dirty joke.
I'm very inconsistent online.
Now, when you put out your greatest hits album, will there be some Christian and some Ryan Gosling?
I feel like I almost have to.
Yeah, like side A, side B.
You almost got
it. Yeah. What's Garth Brooks's that guy? What was it called?
Chris Evans?
Yeah. Or what's his name? It's was it Chris Gardner or something like that.
I thought it was Chris Evans.
It might be Chris Evans. Yeah.
He's the actor.
That'll be my B side.
Hmm.
He played.
God damn it. No, I got
Captain America.
Yeah.
You guys talk. I'm going to figure it out.
Sorry.
That's all right. So what is have you written any just regular rock songs lately?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So not necessarily lately. About 2 years ago, I released a little single for a song that I wrote. A buddy of mine around here has a studio, and I just wrote a song and really wanted to record it. And I released it on like iTunes and YouTube, but I mean, it didn't necessarily go anywhere. All my friends and family enjoyed it, but. Other than that,
it got 45 listens. I made them all listen three times.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Most of those are my mom. So,
it's Chris Gaines.
Chris Gaines.
Chris Gaines. Yeah. That's it. I knew it was something.
Have you heard the rumors about Garth Brooks being a serial killer?
No.
So YMH, you know, Tom Segura and YMH, they talk about it. Like he started this whole thing about, and it was kind of a joke. And it blossomed into this whole thing. And now there's like the conspiracy theory. Like if you go through all his tour dates, you can like track it to like missing person cases and shit.
When he was in town for a show.
And now other podcasts are talking about it like it's a legitimate story. And it all just started as a big joke.
That's great.
Yeah. He does kind of look like a psychopath though.
A little bit. Yeah. But he doesn't like Tom so much.
No.
Yeah.
Like Tom. Yeah, I wanted to have him on and talk, and he doesn't. Garth has nothing to do with him. Did not some of the people from YMH go to a show and hold up a big poster?
Yeah, they got their sign up, yeah.
And then the camera went to him, and where are the bodies buried?
Something
like that. where are the bodies buried?
Yeah, he could not like them because he's on to them, you know?
Right. He's going to get caught.
Yeah.
So what is what's the difference between writing a song and writing a joke?
I mean, obviously structure, but a lot of it starts the same, you know, like you just kind of take a premise, which, you know, writing a song, sometimes the music will come first. Sometimes like the lyrics will come first. Writing a joke, I do a lot of storytelling in mine. Right. So a lot of times I pull from very real places as far as like writing jokes. Like I tell people, I'm like, about 75% of what I say on stage is true,
yeah.
You know, for better or worse. But as far as music, I kind of, you know, and when you're writing Christian music, it almost writes itself. You throw a few Bible verses in there and you have half a song.
Yeah. Open to page 413.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
Did it ever get tiring writing about being good? I mean, every Christian song, you got to be happy ending and you're good.
Very much so. And I always got told like my songs were always like, not in a negative way, but I always had people, they're like, your songs always kind of hang on like the broken, needing something side and not like the joyful, like,
okay,
you know? And I was like, well,
maybe that's saying something.
So, yeah,
obviously.
Maybe it was saying, I need to get out of this and do comedy because that's where my real calling is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I've known that. Like I said, I've wanted to be in, you know, comedy since I was a kid. So I picked up music and I still enjoy music and I try to, you know, insert it into comedy whenever I can. And I love it for the hobby, I guess, you know, but it's definitely not anything I would want to go and do full time again, and especially on the Christian music side.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know that I've heard in your act a lot of putting down the Christian community or music. Am I missing it, or you purposely stay away from it?
I do have some jokes. I have some jokes that really talk more on the personal side of just growing up Pentecostal.
Sure.
I hadn't released a lot of it yet. But I have some jokes where I talk about growing up Pentecostal and I'm like, if you don't know what Pentecostal is, imagine church if everyone took LSD.
Nice.
And then I talk to my dad had a really hardcore like background growing up, you know, he was, you know, on drugs and all these different things before he found God, you know?
Yeah.
And so I have jokes about, you know, you can always tell those preachers from the preachers that grew up very proper and prim and never mm-hmm. had that background because it starts to like steep into their message, you know?
Yeah.
And so I have jokes like that, but okay. I don't do them a whole lot because my mom just got TikTok. So
she doesn't know what to do with it, but you be nice on there, so, Michael.
Yeah. I'm like, so my material might be changing pretty soon.
Did she know what TikTok was before she got it?
I don't know. I don't think so. I'm surprised she had it, but one of my friends warned me. They were like, just so you know, your mom's got TikTok now.
Ooh.
I was like, Jesus Christ.
Well, she's not going to scare all your comedy fans away. Like, by
there's really no telling. I wouldn't put it past her.
Has she gone to comedy shows?
No, God, no. Yeah, she knows I do comedy, and she'll just, anytime I go, she's just like, make sure you're not talking filthy up there. And I'm like, of course I'm not, you know?
Of course I'm not.
So I write separate jokes that I'll tell her, and I'm like, this is one of my jokes. And she's like, oh, that's cute. And then I'm like, you know, cunt.
You're going to have to have like a backup TikTok page.
Yeah. And like, that's going to be my Chris Gaines side.
Right. Right. You know? You're kind of leading the double life is what it is.
I am. Yeah, I am. You know, she sees my TikTok and it's all jokes like, yeah, have you ever been late to church? You know,
right. So, that's such a gosh darn thing.
Yeah.
You do. I don't have TikTok, but on Instagram, you do a lot of video shorts.
Yeah.
You seem to have a lot of fun with those.
Oh, I love it, man. I love it so much. I just love creating, but I love of course, I love stand up and writing and performing, but I also love just the making side of like sketch comedy and writing something and acting and performing. So I love doing that stuff too.
Yeah.
So dude, how do you put time aside for each of those? Or do you say I need to put out a short and start writing something?
So it kind of goes back and forth though. Like, if I hadn't done anything in a while, I'll kind of sit down and go, oh, I need to write some sketches and film and release. And then sometimes I'll just think of something funny on the spot and just stop what I'm doing and film it and, you know, put it out.
Yeah.
But I try to be pretty mindful of trying to release one, you know, at least like one sketch a week or so.
Oh, that's still a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Putting it together and
trying to feed the social media machine.
Yes. God. Trying to bow to the almighty algorithm.
Yeah. It's a hard thing. We've talked about it quite a bit.
Right.
In the past 2 days, it feels like.
It constantly changes too.
Right?
Like I'll get a video and it's like, if you want to trend, follow this algorithm and then I'll do it. And then the next video is like, don't follow that algorithm. And I'm like,
yeah, too late.
Pick a lane.
Yeah. So, no, it's difficult.
You know what would be even funnier if we were doing this naked?
Yeah. Oh, I got in so much trouble by my wife, by the way.
With your wife for that one?
Oh, yeah.
It's a reference to a short of his.
I just, I literally filmed it with a buddy of mine. We were both in Austin doing shows, and we were literally trying to write a sketch, thinking of it, because we took all our gear and we're like, we got to film sketches while we're here. And we kept coming up with ideas, and we just thought it would be funny if one guy was just like, it's like, what if you were naked? And that was constantly his idea. So I did it and filmed it. And then I just get a text from my wife and she sends me a screenshot of it and just goes, what? And I was like, we thought it was funny. Looking at hindsight, maybe not as much. So.
Well, like at the end of it, you said, that wasn't funny.
Yeah. And it wasn't. Yeah. See, so I understood even then.
I thought it was funny.
But you can't waste the content. Good. That's.
Yeah.
No,
you can't take that down. I thought it was funny.
Man, I have videos that I put so much effort and work into and they'll get like 200 views. And then I went to Vegas for the behind the comedian thing for the showcase and stuff. And I made like a 4-second video because they flew me Frontier. And so I made like a 4-second video about how the Denver airport felt like Motel 6. And I've never had more people happy and mad with me at the same time. It's got like nearly 100,000 views. And I've just had, it's just comments of people just raking me over the coals.
Oh, man.
And then it started to die down. It does. Thank you.
Yeah, it does.
I have people commenting on there that are just like, I work at the Denver airport. Ooh. And I saw you. And I'm like,
okay.
It's a 4-second video. Like, that's literally, and I'm like, why don't you guys go watch a sketch? Maybe.
Yeah. All right.
Check out my stand up. So, but yeah, I've been battling and I can't, like, it's hard for me to ignore those. So there's like 600 comments plus my replies, which makes like 1,200 comments.
Oh, no.
I'm replying to everyone just like, I'm sorry. Denver airport's great. I didn't know. And so, like, my whole you can see my, like, different emotions on there. It's very apologetic, and then it's just like, I hate Denver Airport, and then it's just all over the place.
You realize I'm going to cut the clip here where I said it sucks, and you're like, I know. Like, you just
start all over.
You're going to throw a cunt in there, Denver Airport.
Yeah.
That's what all the cunts in Denver work.
Yeah. There we go. That's great.
You won't be allowed back.
No, not at all. Definitely after that video.
Would you say that that's the most trouble you ever got into is that video out of all of them? I mean, you do have to say some risque stuff.
Like all Marines are gay?
Yeah. Honestly, that one, I expected feedback from that and surprisingly did not.
Wow.
And I've had Marines kind of say stuff about it. Even like Marines I've served with, and they're like, yep, spot on. You nailed it.
Well,
so,
no, it's funny. Yeah. Cause when I saw that one, I was like, ooh, that had to have caused some
issues.
I thought that. And I was like, I'm about to piss off an entire group of people that I shouldn't. The only person that I could chase after them would be my mother.
Oh. Well, that's why they remember your mom.
He's not afraid of the Marines. He's got his mom. Yeah. You're like, fuck you, Marines.
They remember my mom. That's like the ultimate boss. Yeah.
She's a legend.
She killed Bin Laden. I don't know if you guys know.
So. Part of SEAL Team 6.
She didn't need a team. She did it on her own.
She did. Yeah.
She's not. Yeah. She's not part of SEAL Team. She's just SEAL.
She dropped in with tambourines, just
so
accordion.
Since your mom doesn't go to your shows, you put her in your act, you think about, or have you just hesitated?
I've been doing sketch stuff. Oh, you mean as far as stand-up or sketch?
Well, both now, but yeah, I was thinking stand-up.
So I have, so, and it's newer material that I'm kind of working out, because I have a set and I'm traveling so much that I kind of have like my set that I'm just kind of, and I tweak it and work it as I go to different, you know, spots.
Yep.
I'm working on a new 30-minute set, and a large portion of it is about, I say a large, but like 20% of it is about my mom. Mm. And just kind of growing up with her. And I'm writing a lot because she used to use checks for everything. And she gave me a check to pay for my school lunch once that bounced. I don't know if you guys know how much school lunches were in the 90s.
Yeah, like $2.
Yeah.
For the year.
It's like, are we okay? Can you afford to keep me, or should grandma take me? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a bad one to bounce. Holy shit. Yeah.
So I was like, I got to write that into a joke. So
do you think she would be upset by any of it, or do you think as long as it's clean, she'd be good with that?
I think as long as it's clean, she'll be okay with it. She always said we were real poor growing up, and she said, you know, we couldn't afford much. So like you were the entire family's entertainment. So she knows I'm kind of leaning into that, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think she's okay with it.
That works. Yeah.
Well, then you mentioned sketch. Are you writing a sketch about your mom, or?
No, but I used to film, and I'm actually trying to find them so I can re-release them. But I used to, when I was in like high school and stuff, I used to film a bunch of stuff and like force my mom to be in it.
Oh, nice.
And I have one where she's in the kitchen, and I filmed it over several times, but I have one where like she's in the kitchen and I'm like, I'm walking in as like a Sith Lord, just like swinging at her and saying stuff to her. And like every time she'll walk somewhere, I'll just kind of come around a corner, very Sith-like. So I've got that one. So I've got a lot of different ones.
Wait, now, Sith-Lord, that's a Star Wars thing,
that's,
right?
That's a Star Wars. Yes. That's
so you, I'll just go in. You need to
He's
find
actually
that.
The wide receiver for the Cowboys. I don't know if you knew that. Sith-Lord.
The wide receiver, the Cowboys are gay.
Yeah.
I thought the whole team was.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you two want to talk Star Wars, I could, I don't know, I'd maybe go use the restroom or something.
Well, I can tell that you started with the prequels. Oh, yeah. Thank you.
I did. I remember seeing Phantom Menace in theaters.
And that was your first exposure to it. How did your mom let you go see that violent movie?
So my biological father and my brother took me to that. So my raising was so bipolar, because I went from my parents being pastors of a Pentecostal church to like my biological dad showing me porn at like 12.
Let's tap into that for a second. How does that come up?
I really don't. I've got the newspaper clipping to prove it.
Yeah, right?
But yeah, I don't remember what it was. I think we were at a gas. You remember like at gas stations when magazines, it had like the black block on there.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember looking at that at a gas station, and like he bought it for me one day and just gave it to me.
Nice.
And that was my girlfriend for about the next 4 years.
Did all your buddies want to see it? Were you the most popular kid? Because everybody wanted to see it.
No.
Oh, did you tell them?
No, because I was terrified of it getting back to like my mom and dad, you know. I did get in trouble for like softcore porn at my mom and stepdad's house one time, because I filmed it off on like a VHS tape, And it was like just all, you remember, it's just like all, it's like Skinemax, you know, it's like all from the waist up.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, you know, and I let it play and filmed it on a VHS. And I remember my dad finding it and breaking it in half.
Ooh.
And I had actually made two copies of it. So I was just like, break it. I don't give a shit. You know?
I showed you. So,
funny thing is, yeah. You broke it, but it was all the way played.
Yeah. 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 I was not kind. I did not rewind. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't make it past the previews of it. So I didn't make it past that drum solo, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's all it usually took. Didn't even get to the actual movie. The previews were what got you.
Like, yeah. Dude, those credits are so hot.
Oh,
the directed by got me.
I do remember sitting and sneaking. You would sneak to watch Saturday Night Live. We would sneak to watch Showtime.
Yeah.
With the squiggly lines trying to see a boob on an angle.
Oh, man. Caught a nipple. So my grandmother, and they were also just, my whole family on my mom's side was just Pentecostal people. And I remember my grandmother had just gotten a computer. And it was like in their living room. And I mean, it had sticky Bible verses all over it. Like, and she would get on there and talk to people. And this was like AOL chat room type stuff. Yeah. She was in like, you know, Grandma's for God or whatever crazy stuff like that.
Absolutely.
And I just remember I tried to download just a picture of porn. And I mean, I remember it vividly. It was like Spread Eagle. And the screen had froze. The screen froze. And I mean, it didn't make it all the way down. And so I didn't know what to do. So I was like, well, I'll turn it off and that it'll just go away.
Obviously.
All I did was turn the screen off. I didn't know how to turn off the.
Yeah, yeah.
So when she got up the next morning, and I remember I was asleep on her living room floor. She got up the next morning to, you know, drink her coffee, you know, talk to her, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah.
And turns the screen on, and that picture had finished downloading. Yeah. Now that's the most trouble I think I've actually ever been in, is that one. So
did you? Yeah. Okay. Let's walk through this for a minute. Did she obviously woke you up to yell at you? Did you deny it at first?
I didn't really know what, I mean, I was the only one there. It was like, it's either me or my grandpa, you know, and my grandpa didn't know how to use, computers were so new, like trying to like having them and ever, like they were so new to them. Like my grandpa didn't necessarily, he didn't know anything about it. So it was like, I knew I was caught. So I just kind of leaned into the, you know, I prayed, I guess. I don't know.
It's when I need you most, God. Sinner. Let's go. Let's see what you can do for me. Get me out of this one, buddy.
Oh, man. Yeah.
If you're real.
If you're real, don't let this download.
I just remember sitting at computers in those days just watching that.
Oh,
watching your porn.
I was just waiting. And it was just a picture. And it took like 2 hours for a picture to download.
Oh, right? You know? But we waited.
I was like, yeah. Oh, I sat there and waited. And then, I mean, I remember when I don't know if I've ever been that panicked in my entire life at 1:30 in the morning, just watching the screen not move at all for like an hour. And I couldn't, and so I was like, screen off, problem gone. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So when they were, was it going down? Did you stand up to look and see if you could see over?
Yeah.
I remember my dad coming to me with, you know, when you delete them, they don't delete. They go to the trash.
No.
Yeah. Oh, no, I didn't know that. So, and then he went, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Saved me a lot of time.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
We all learned.
I don't know if our relationship was ever the same after that.
I would imagine not. No.
So
is the Pentecostal church, is that the connection? Like, I noticed you got Brianna Vasquez doing some stuff for you. Is the Pentecostal church a good connection there?
Yeah. We kind of both found out, you know, obviously saw on Kill Tony and everything and reached out. And I was like, oh my God, I grew up you know, that way too. So it kind of was a big connection. And, you know, she had kind of saw my comedy and stuff like that. So there was a connection there.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just kind of have kind of helped sharing it and putting it out in the world. So,
yeah,
but yeah, that was definitely the, it was like, oh, you're traumatized from that too.
<You're> right?
Me too.
Yeah.
We can bond.
Now she's yeah, awesome. She, she promotes us a lot too. And we've never had a guest who promotes us as much as she does. She's awesome.
Oh, so, yeah.
Very cool.
Do you make your way over to Kill Tony?
Man, I went to Austin this past weekend with the intent to stay and work that Monday so that I could stay and sign up.
Okay.
And then didn't check the schedule. So I was like, oh man, they're actually in Madison Square Garden this weekend.
That's right.
So, but I've signed up two or three times before, went over to Shakespeare's and, you know, hung out for 4 hours or however long it is. But
yeah,
I've got shows and I'm going back to Austin in October to do some other shows. So I plan on staying and signing up again.
Nice.
Okay.
But every person that sits next to me at Shakespeare's gets picked.
You're the good luck charm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was sitting right next to Donna Lee when she got picked. She's a friend of mine. Okay. And she's sitting right next to me, and they called her, and she got picked. And Kimberly, was on the other side of me when she got picked. So I was like, this is just the hot, anybody that wants to get picked for Kill Tony, sit near me, and you're good.
Yeah.
So,
and you really want to get on there faster, sit on my lap.
Yeah. 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 Right. Take you to the moon. So
we apologize. We're both sick. So, I don't think technology has advanced that far
yet. Yeah. Good, but yeah, apologize for the sniffling and stuff.
Oh, you're good, man. I'm from Texas. The allergies here are, I mean, you're sick 24/7 with allergies. So.
Oh, God damn.
I get it.
So how did you feel like when the comedy, I mean, because you're born and raised, you're a native Texan. How'd you feel when the comedy scene started moving there?
I felt happy just because I remember as a teenager and, you know, watching, you know, people that I idolized, and I was like, it's LA or New York,
right?
You don't do, or, you know, a little bit of Chicago and different places. I just knew that was such a far reach to me. And, when I really started doing it, and really just in like the last, what, 6, maybe 7 years, it just really exploded, definitely in Austin and in DFW. Yeah. I mean, it made it, you know, very much made me happy, and it seemed more like an attainable goal for me.
Absolutely. You know?
So when you're just thinking about it, there was no thought of moving to California or New York at the time?
So my original plan before I stupidly joined the Marines on a whim was I wanted to move to L.A. and get into comedy and, you know, I always wanted to be like a comedy actor and all those things. So I did definitely think about that as well. And then I was like, well, I could go to California another way. So
there you go.
Make them pay for it.
Yeah. But honestly, at the same time, I was very much a different person there. I think maturing and kind of growing into who I am now, I don't necessarily know that I would have been good without the knowledge that I have now. You know? Yeah.
Well, and especially as a comedian who is a storytelling comedian, you had to live life and get some funny stories on you. It's hard to have that at 18 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, 18-year-olds don't know shit. So. Yeah,
no, they think they do, but
they still don't know shit.
Well, yeah, you still act like you're 18.
That's true. So.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah,
but things seem to be moving for you, right? You just signed with Golden Artist Entertainment.
Yeah, Dante. Dante's great.
Okay,
so
how did you get it hooked up with them?
I entered a comedy competition in 2023, towards the end of 2023. And I obviously didn't make it, but he had sent me an email and was like, hey, just to let you know, you were in the top 20 of who we were considering, and just reached out and kind of wanted to talk over the phone. And and just kind of told him my goals. And we talked a little bit about, you know, what they do, and just kind of worked out. And at that time, things just kind of kept rolling. And, okay, you know, it was like, it's only a year contract. Let's see what happens kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's so awesome.
But,
So what is that? What do they do for you? Are they booking shows for you?
No. And I've got like an agent that kind of handles, okay, like that's, I just signed with, that's handling on my booking side that I met at my Vegas showcase. But they handle more on like my acting and writing side, you know.
Oh, nice.
I get virtual auditions from them, you know, almost every other day and different things like that. And I'm working on a 30 minute half hour comedy that I've been writing with my older brother for a little while now, that they're going to kind of help me see if I can pitch that and see if it goes anywhere.
Oh, nice.
All right. Best of luck there.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm pretty excited about it.
So is your brother as funny as you, or does he want to get on stage at all?
So he's not a comedian and is terrified of the stage, but he's like a silent partner. You know, he has a big sense of humor too. But he also, so the show that we're writing is like a comedy about door-to-door meat salesmen.
Okay.
You know, because my biological dad, since we were kids and still is, has always sold meat door-to-door.
Okay.
And it's always been a ginormous scam.
Oh,
you know, so especially like all that. So we were like that would, and all this, I actually went and worked with him almost every summer when I was like 12 years old. And you legit, they just get steak, you know, kind of $30, $40, $50 a case. You buy a freezer, put it in the back of the truck, and then you just show up to people's front door that you're not anywhere invited for, or they're not interested in any way.
Okay.
And then you have your 12-year-old son go and knock on the door and spill this line that he made you spend 30 minutes rehearsing.
Oh, my God.
You know?
Nice.
And so I grew up around that. And it was I just remember even then, I was like, this is one of the sketchiest things I've ever been around.
Yeah.
And so my brother went and worked with him too when he was 16 up until like his 20s. And we just saw so much stuff. We were around and different things. We were like, that would make a, we've always said together, like, that is a show waiting to happen.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Like, and so about 6 months ago, we were like, you know, let's, you know, I'm kind of getting into the, you know, I've kind of gotten to the comedy world, learning a lot. And so we just kind of sat down and started working on it.
That's awesome. That's fun. It's so, cool to get to work with your brother on something like that.
Oh, yeah. He's got such a knowledge about it because he was so, you know, he was older than I was really and was around it a lot more because my brother lived with my dad from like 16 to 20, you know. And so he's kind of like my muse there for that. And so, you know, we'll kind of go over some ideas and I'll kind of interject it with some comedy and just kind of. He's got a lot of the life experience that we're able to pull from.
Sure. Nice.
Sounds like a great combination.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's great.
Has he lived near you that you're able to get together to work on it?
Yeah, he lives about 30 minutes from me. So we usually get together almost every two, which we talk about it over the phone a lot. But usually on Tuesdays, we'll get together and just kind of, you know, we've got a good kind of rough draft put together. We're still kind of tweaking some things. We're still trying to really nail like the B plot side of it.
Sure.
But yeah, usually we get together almost every Tuesday and sit down for a couple hours and work on it.
Wow.
Okay.
So you're just busy in all the creative facets.
Sounds like it.
Music,
yeah.
Comedy, sketch comedy. Good. Well, good for you. Keeps the creative juices flowing.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Big time.
That's awesome. So what's coming up next where you got, this will probably be, this is probably about a month from coming out. So if you got anything like coming in late September, October, we're really backed up right now.
so late September, I've got the 26th and 27th. I'm in Baton Rouge.
Okay.
And then the 28th, I'm at the Comedy Avenue in Lawton, Oklahoma.
Where on social media and all that good stuff?
Yeah, you can find me, pretty much anywhere on social media, just at Michael Morgan Comedy.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you for coming and spending some time with us. Yeah. This was fun.
Appreciate you hanging out.
This has been great. Thank you, guys.
Awesome. Have a good night.
You too.
All right. Good night.
Thank you for listening. The tavern is closed for now, but we'd love to have you back for more fun next time. Seriously, though, get your asses out of here.